Savior to me. He hideth my soul. It's hymn number 10. Turn there. Join me on that first verse. Every voice, please, on the first.
Thank you.
please.
This is my story.
Stuff going on here this weekend. Pretty tumultuous weekend here in the Minnesota area, especially the Minneapolis area. And I got a lot to show you here today. Some things to talk about that I believe are important. Just so we get a right perspective on who a lot of these people are, the Antichrist spirit that lurks around this entire fiasco here. There's definitely a deliberate Antichrist spirit that is working now in the children of disobedience around this entire situation. There's this very strange, very odd, chaotic confusion that works around this. And I'm going to be really blunt, as you know that I am when I talk about this. I'm going to be really blunt when I talk about this because, you know, I don't buy this garbage. I don't buy this whole racial inequality garbage in America. I don't buy it.
Are there hateful people around? Sure, there always will be. Is that what this is about? No. And if you believe that, I question your sanity. I question your sanity or your integrity. When, if you believe that any of this is about some hateful, racist stuff. As if police spend all their days running around killing black people on a daily basis. Because the narrative that's being pushed here is basically, we're tired of black people being killed. Really? Well, why don't you talk to black people about black people killing black people? How about that? How about you take a little bit of look at black on black crime? How about you take a look at the 1,000 babies that are murdered, Planned Parenthood and abortions every day on average of black people. Look at the crime. Look at the crime rates. Well, do I believe there's some people that are protesting that actually believe that narrative? Sure. So some guy comes on here and says, how about you tell Trump to stop fueling the fire? How about you go tell him? Because I honestly don't see where he's fueling the fire. To be honest with you. Like, I think he has a really wimpy response to it. I am absolutely 100% embarrassed by our nation's response to these bunch of thugs. That's what I think. I think the response to these white, black, blue, purple, smurf-colored, I don't care what they are, thugs, is absolutely a lack of manhood. That's what I think. And for him to say, if you don't get it taken care of, I don't see anything wrong with that. Because me as a man, that's the way I feel. Like, if you don't protect what you're supposed to protect, then we will. I mean, what's wrong with that? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. See, here's the thing you have to understand. I'm not running for office anywhere. Number one. Hey, Zach. Good to see you checking in. Somebody said, I think it's funny how white conservative Christians hate blacks. What white conservative Christians do you know hate blacks? Who said anything about hating black people? Oh, did you misunderstand me speaking like a man and that I'm not going to do what these guys do? You mean I'm not going to bow down to them and kiss their boots? Is that what you're saying? Because of their color? Is that what you're saying? So what you're saying is that if I don't bow down and kiss their feet and beg them for forgiveness for something somebody did to them 200 years ago that never actually happened to them in the first place? If I don't do what this article says right here, white protesters kneel before black protesters asking for forgiveness. Black protesters respond by joining them in prayer. Are you kidding me? Do you really think I'm going to bow down to a bunch of men? And ask them to forgive me for something I didn't even do? Hey, do you even know what the definition of forgiveness is? Do you see, here's the thing. Most people can't have this conversation. You know why? Because they're afraid of the court of public opinion. That's why. Because they're afraid of the court of public opinion. And you're right. Antifa's a bunch of white guys, too, running around doing it. So I'm just saying, like, I'm not doing that. See, let me tell you, let me explain something to you. Okay? Let me help you. I'm not going to beg you not to burn down my house. I'm not going to do that. Okay? I'm not going to beg you. That's okay. It can glitch. I can't do anything about it anyway. Somebody got me this camera. It doesn't work. I got to get a different one. Listen to me. I'm not going to beg you not to burn down my house. Like, I'm not going to like be patronized and like play this stupid fake game with you, with people. It's like this stupid fake game of like, now we know you're upset. It's like talking to your child. Now we know you're upset, but we want you to do A, B, C, and D, and okay, we'll do, yeah, I have no desire to do that. Why? Because thugs don't understand that. I'm just telling you, you don't deal with thugs that way. You don't deal with thugs that way. They only understand force. That's what they understand. That's all they understand is force. I'm talking about the federal government, the state government. I'm not talking about being a vigilante. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It ain't no vigilante if somebody comes up to your door bringing a fire to your door. Christians should never go out and seek violence. But when you're backed into a corner and you have to defend your wife and children, then you do what you have to do. That's what you do. You don't sit there and bow down to them and beg them for What would you be asked, like, what would I be asking them forgiveness for? I don't remember a time when I stuck my knee in some black dude's neck. I don't remember doing that. Then you have all these politicians acting like this is a race issue. Those people were not all, those four cops were not all white. How is that even being made a race issue when all of them weren't even white? Well, the little antagonist Bible man, thank Bible, says, I honestly believe, Jason, you've stepped on the Trump train. How? Because I'm not going to bow down and lick your boot? You mean I sound like a man? Look, I was around before all you Johnny-come-latelys came around and started talking about Trump. I talked about Trump before he was even elected, when he was back in, and I did my broadcast on the Hegelian, or my sermon on the Hegelian dialectic. Yeah, exactly, Lisa. We'll let you burn all our police stations down and burn all our buildings down, and we'll just sit here and act like, which let me show you, once we get through this article, and by the way, Trump isn't always wrong, and he's not wrong for what he's saying when it comes to these thugs, white, black, blue, or purple, don't matter what color they are. But just because somebody's right about something doesn't mean I just ignore them. If somebody's right about something, I'm not going to say they're wrong about it just because they said it. That is like extreme immaturity. If somebody's right, they're right. And somebody couldn't believe it that Trump said he was going to sick the dogs on him if they got out over the White House fence. Well, I would too. I would too. Why not? Why wouldn't you? You shouldn't call yourself Bible man, think Bible, when you're not intellectually honest and you're lying about me. You're just another internet coward that wastes people's time. Hiding your identity because you don't tell people who you really are, and you just come on to snipe people, and that's all you're doing. That's all that's about. So you take your little coward self off my channel and I'll be fine with it. I'm so over seeing people like you play games with other people. It's not even worth wasting my time on. You're a coward, and that's all there is to it. Anyway, so white protesters kneel before black protesters asking for forgiveness. Like, for what? Dozens of white protesters knelt before a group of African-American protesters and asked for forgiveness from past sins of white people. So stupid. That is so dumb. I can't think of anything any more stupid than a universal white person asking black people, all black people in the world, to forgive them. That is so stupid. How can anybody think that is remotely intelligent? And I would be absolutely patronized. I would feel like an idiot if you did that. I would be like, this is dumb. Look, I'm just saying the things that a lot of people don't want to say because they're afraid about their image. And I already lost that a long time ago for the truth's sake. I can't repent for another person. And if I could, my repentance would be towards God, to ask God to forgive our nation, not people like that, which the leader described as years and years of racism, systematic racism. A powerful show of unity and support. I got a question for you. Let's reverse it. How would everybody take it if all those black people bowed down in front of those white people? Anybody care to comment on that, how that would work? How would everybody feel if all those black people bowed down to those white people? See what I mean? You'd be like, oh, that's terrible. Of course it is. It's stupid. I just don't buy into it. Then they call it toxic masculinity, and I say, yes! Look, every man's a sinner. And you're going to die and go to hell no matter what color you are if you don't get saved by the grace of Almighty God. You don't have to agree with me. That's okay. You may call it an objective opinion, but I don't think it is. I'm just gonna show you facts. You argue with what I'm showing you is what's happening right now. The black community followed up that by kneeling down as well, and they are eventually joined in prayer. As the white people on their knees and bowing their heads, one white male at the front of the group praises God and asks our black brothers and sisters for forgiveness. We're not shaming anybody, we're just humbling ourselves before you. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It is the worship of man. Right? Yeah, it's just plain shaming is all it is. Okay, but where does it go from here? Like, I'll show you. It continues to move on and on and on. Then I'm going to show you the PSYOP issue of it. Satan's hand in it. Of course. We'll show you the Antichrist spirit in it. But how about we look at this right here? I think this is a little important. I think this is a little bit important of a tidbit of information, isn't it? When we talk about a government psyop. Hey, does anybody wonder why the son of the Minnesota Attorney General and one that's on the board, on the city council of Minneapolis is officially supporting Antifa? And here's the Attorney General right here, and you're going to see a picture of him that way. Jose, you said as Christ followers, we should show kindness to our neighbors. Who isn't showing kindness? Who isn't showing kindness? Son of Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison tweeted on Sunday that he is declaring his support for Antifa after President Trump said that his administration would be declaring it a terrorist organization. The son of Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison tweeted on Sunday that he is declaring his support for them. Jeremy Ellison, who is a member of the Minneapolis City Council. Hey, does anybody know where all this started? Minneapolis. Minneapolis. That's where it started. Look at it. Jeremy Ellison, who is a member of the Minneapolis City Council, noted in the tweet that he believes white power terrorists are actually the ones engaging in the looting, arson, and other riot activities as violent sects hijacked some of the protests against racial inequality and police brutality in the wake of the death of George Floyd last Monday. I hereby declare officially, he said, my support for Antifa. Unless someone can prove to me Antifa is behind the burning of black and immigrant-owned businesses in my ward, I'll keep focusing on stopping the white power terrorists. They are actually attacking us. Floyd died in the custody of the Minneapolis Police Department after officials said the officer, Derek Chauvin, used his knee to pin Floyd, who is black, to the ground by his neck for several minutes as Floyd begged for air. He was later charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz announced Sunday night that the Attorney General Ellison's office would lead the case against Chauvin. Really? Anybody think that's kind of weird? We are going to bring to bear all the resources necessary to achieve justice in this case, Ellison said. Antifa is a far-left militant movement that calls itself anti-fascist. They are the real fascists. And has no defined organizational hierarchy or membership process. Antifa demonstrators have been known to travel across state lines to engage in vandalism, looting, and other forms of violence. It It's not clear whether Antifa is behind all or even most of the violence of the widespread protests, but the movement has been a target of Republican politicians who have made clear they stand with peaceful protesters. They are justifiably angry about Floyd's death. And it's Antifa and the radical left. Don't lay blame on others, Trump tweeted Saturday. Yeah, it's white supremacists. Yeah, that's why I see all those black people in there, because it's all white supremacists. I didn't know black people were white supremacists, too. Because I've seen an awful lot of them going into Target, coming out with TVs. He says they're mostly outsiders, but let me just remind you that here's the Attorney General of Minnesota. That's a picture of him with the Antifa anti-fascist handbook. In a post on Twitter, Ellison said that he found the book Antifa, the Anti-Fascist Handbook, at Minneapolis Bookshop, and said it would strike fear in the heart of the real Donald Trump. So here you have the Attorney General of Minnesota, who, by the way, him and the governor let this thing go on for a few days without really doing anything about it and stopping it. Right? Well, that's just one governor, right? So surely that must just be an accident, right? Or one politician, high-level politician involved with that. That must just be a coincidence, right? That his son supports Antifa. He supports Antifa. Must be an accident. Maybe not. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's daughter was arrested at Manhattan protests on Saturday night. Law enforcement told the Post on Sunday. Ciara de Blasio, 25, was taken into custody around 10:30 p.m. after cops declared an unlawful assembly at 12th Street and Broadway in Lower Manhattan. She had allegedly been blocking traffic on Broadway and was arrested after refusing to move. That was a real hot spot. Police cars were getting burned there. People were throwing and yelling, fighting with cops. There were thousands of people in that area at the time, the sources said. It was a real hot spot. Police cars were getting burned. Ciara gave a residence at East End Avenue as her address, otherwise known as Gracie Mansion, the mayor's Upper East Side home. But she didn't tell cops she was the mayor's daughter. The arrest came about an hour before his and her told protesters it was time to go home. We appreciate and respect all peaceful protests, but now it's the time for people to go home, de Blasio said, but not his family. Right? Not his family. Other people, but not his family, right? On Sunday, the mayor declared that anarchist agitators with an explicit agenda for violence have co-opted the police brutality protest. It's a small number. Boy, it sure don't look like it with 200 businesses destroyed. Don't look like a small number in Minnesota. By the way, remember Ilhan Omar's daughter supports Antifa. So what do we have here? We've got a bunch of people that are in power that them and their children are supporting the destruction. Right? They're supporting the destruction that's going on. So you tell me that's an accident. Jose or Jose says, Mr. Cooley, I suggest a dedicated time for prayer and fasting. Then you should go do that. If the Lord lays it on your heart to do that, then you should go do it. I think that'd be great. So why do we have all of these people that are district attorneys, or in this case, the Attorney General of Minnesota? We have the Attorney General of Minnesota. We have the mayor's daughter. We have the representative from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, and her daughter. Right? So we have all these groups of people and they're all connected, these groups, but so are you starting to wonder why Minneapolis just kept burning? I mean, does anybody wonder why Minneapolis just kept burning? It's kind of strange, isn't it? Not really. Not when I connect the dots. Sounds almost like the governor, the attorney general. Let it burn. That they let it burn down. That's what it sounds like. Hang on one second, guys. I'll be right back.
To God be the glory.
Oh.
that they knew this civil unrest would be there. And they let this go on. That's what happened. They actually let it go on. Because I don't see any other way. I don't see any other way. Is the sound back on yet? I've got sound here. Let me know if it's back on. Okay. Sorry about that. But I don't see any other way that this wasn't planned. Or at least the outcome of it planned. That they saw an opportunity. To control people through fear, just like they did with Corona. Just like they did with COVID-19. A control mechanism. Because why am I on curfew, right? Oh, now I know who Bible Man Think Bible is. It's the mentally deranged man named Chip Evans. See, Chip Evans, what he does is he stalks Pastor Hoggard and myself. Because I think he's done a lot of steroids and they've affected his brain. That and he's probably possessed by about 20 devils. And he basically goes around and calls everybody racist all the time. I think he's a boxer and I think he got hit in the brains too much. So he spends his time trolling pastors on social media constantly. That's pretty much what he does. And he starts a bunch of different accounts to do that. I mean, really, people actually have time to spend all day starting new YouTube accounts and trolling pastors. It really is the strangest thing. But just pray for him because he really needs to be saved. And hopefully he hasn't gone too far. Because when the Lord's done with somebody like that, he just gives them over to that mind. And when they get over that far, there's no coming back for them. Now, it's a sad thing, but hopefully he gets saved and he stops doing that someday. I don't know. But he definitely has a very odd fascination with Bible preachers that he trolls them. Anyway, all right, let's keep going here. So, we have the Mayor de Blasio's daughter, right? Remember, this is the same mayor that put everybody on lockdown, but that went to walk and said they couldn't even go outside and walk outside. This is the same guy that shut down the Jews that were having their funeral in the streets, and they told them that if they did it again, he wasn't playing any games anymore, that they were all going to be arrested. if they went to the funeral. If they did any more funerals, yet all these thugs are out all over New York, and the governor's daughter, or the mayor of New York's daughter. Right? So you see the spirit here that these people have? Okay? Now we're going to get to the religious spirit that's in this, because there's one of those too. But let's just show you the results of these lootings. These are nothing more than a bunch of pirates, is what they are. Right? Let's see here. I might have to get through a commercial here and pause it, but I want to show you this.
I got things I...
Let's just wait for that to end. I'll put that over here. When that's over, I'll bring it back over there. Here we go.
City smashing patrol cars and setting them on fire.
Police arrested one of them for throwing a Molotov cocktail inside a police van. A similar scene in Pittsburgh as rioters kicked out police cruiser windows.
And a violent night in Jacksonville, Florida. Rioters attacking several officers, stabbing one of them in the neck. We could go list by list by list about towns across America. Chicago, dozens of police officers injured. The numbers in New York City are staggering. And here to get a reaction on it this morning is Dan Bongino, Fox News contributor, former NYPD officer, former Secret Service agent. Dan, thanks for being here this morning. I'm sure you got a chance to see some of the footage from last night. The numbers, 345 arrests, 33 officers in blue here in New York City injured, 47 police cars damaged. The numbers similar to that in other cities across the country. Your reaction?
Well, Pete, this isn't a protest anymore. This is a coup. This is an organized internal coup by a small group of agitators acting as a domestic terror group. That's a fact. Put a peer.
Hey, look at that. 33 NYPD officers. I'm telling you, Satan's got his hand, his hoof print all over this.
Period and a full stop on that. This isn't a protest anymore. And I've been listening to your show all morning, and what you said before, Pete, is accurate. This is not a protest anymore, not by our choosing. It should have been a protest. There were legitimate reasons, looking at the tape of Mr. Floyd, for all Americans who agreed in unanimity, for one of the first times I've seen in the last probably 10 years, that there was something seriously wrong there. And you know what we're not talking about? Any of that. Because we're talking about an Antifa group, an organized group of agitators committed unquestionably now to the destruction of the United States. And let me just say, with regards to these now riots, again, this isn't a protest anymore, folks. I'm very sorry. The time to protest is now past because the legitimate protesters are now being attacked, some of the same people, by these Antifa folks and others committed to the destruction of the United States. And crowd control is not the most difficult part of policing. It's tough. riot control is. And sadly, we've let this from some police departments, due to political leadership and bad political leadership, have let this evolve into a riot from a protest. It's very difficult to put a lid on that.
Yeah. You know, Dan, we've been talking about the lack of leadership in some of these cities, obviously Bill de Blasio being the gift that keeps on giving in that department. You now have the NYPD Sergeants Union shooting back at de Blasio after he had the audacity.
Okay, so see, even the cops are saying, and other people are saying, they're saying things like, why aren't we fighting this? Well, I'll tell you why they're not fighting it. Because they were never going to fight it. They just let it go. They literally just let it go. And I'm more convinced than ever. That they just let this continue to go. Hang on a second. Look at this. All these people on one person. See what I'm telling you is, these type of people, they killed that guy. That guy died. That guy died right there. I believe he died. He was trying to protect his place, and he had a machete. But he had a whole crowd around him. Right? And they just beat him down. I'm telling you, those type of people only know one thing. They're brute beast. Made to be taken and destroyed. How about Chicago? By the way, do you remember these governors locking us all down? I'm going to show you something on that in a second.
Robin's feeling the fatigue. Time to talk it out.
Well, you know.
Okay. As soon as this dumb commercial's over, I'll show you. These people, total brutes. No care for the lives of others. Just complete mob rule. Sixteen deaths and at least 30 injured in shootings across the region over the weekend in Chicago. Meanwhile, we're locking down the churches. We're locking down all these other people, right? They're locking all these people down. Got them all on lockdown. Churches on lockdown. Remember how it was dangerous? We weren't supposed to do anything? Remember how all that, like, COVID-19 had us all locked in?
Staten Island, tanning salon owner, slapped with a $1,000 fine and threatened with jail time for opening his doors ahead of New York City's schedule. And when he tried to serve his customers, police arrived almost immediately to shut him down. GOP Councilman Joe Borelli was the salon's first customer and witnessed the protest as they all unfolded. He joins me now with the owner of Sunbelievable Salons, great name there, Bobby Catone. Guys, thanks for being here. Bobby, explain what happened yesterday.
Well, we went there as a peaceful protest, basically, trying to get small businesses in the community open. Very nice turnout. Joe went out of his way to come there and support, along with Nicole. And basically, our first customer was Joe Borelli. Came in, bought a product. As soon as he bought his product, police very politely issued a summons, and if I continue to stay open, threaten me with jail time and taking my health license away indefinitely. So, of course, we chose to shut down and take it to the next level.
Understood. Here's Mayor de Blasio yesterday discussing when New York City is going to reopen. Take a listen.
We've asked you now over the last 2 months to shelter in place.
And I've talked to so many New Yorkers who told me it's been a struggle.
We are getting to the point very, very soon where we can take the first step to restart in phase one.
Joe, first off, I love the fact that you were the salon's first customer. But two, more importantly, you say there is absolutely no sense of urgency from either Governor Cuomo or Mayor de Blasio. Why?
No, and this is the problem. We have business owners that every day that...
So think about this, right? Here's this business owner trying to open up his business. And he's told because of COVID it's too dangerous. Meanwhile, there's an absolute stinking war zone going on there. People are burning everything down. And then guess what? The peaceful protesters, they're the real problem. But these people are allowed to burn everything down and nobody's even stopping them. But we were at a... Oh, if you go protest or if you open up too soon, you're a danger to people. You're a danger to people. Really? Not as much of a danger as what's going on right now. Not as much of a danger as what's happening now. Now people's buildings are being burned down. Think about it. Think about how that's working. It's a bunch of mass confusion. It's what it is. It's a bunch of confusion.
Goes by, more and more go bankrupt, more and more jobs are lost, more and more people join the 1 million meals a day now given out by the city of New York to people who are newly impoverished, and yet there's no sense of urgency on reopening. I went into Bobby's store, Sunbelievable, on Staten Island yesterday, and I bought some tanning lotion. I could go to the big box stores, I can go to my local supermarket, I can go to my local Target, and buy the same sunblock as I bought from Bobby, but unfortunately, those stores get to stay open, but small businesses, the ones that make up the backbone of our economy in towns across the USA, many of them are forced to stay closed. In New York City, they're still closed, and it's still Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo who are prohibiting that from happening.
Yeah, one of the main complaints across the nation is sort of the randomness as to which businesses get to remain closed and which businesses can open. Take a look at this list. This is when phase one begins, curbside. How long is this going to last before you're going to have to shut down permanently?
That's the question of the day. We don't know. We've been told to hold off. My fellow Staten
are allowed to open up their salons more in the coming days. Joe, what is the
PPE that gets re-upped so business owners can still take advantage of whatever better in New York City for another month?
So anyway, so he's talking about what's going on there. But guess what's being allowed and nobody's stopping? Look. I mean, you couldn't have people at a funeral, but you could have mobs in the streets. But I know people that couldn't even be at their family member's bedside when they died. It's just a bunch of garbage. Please do not go to church or the beach or reopen your business. You will kill grandma. It is safe, however, to loot the small business and gather in large crowds. Yep. That's pretty much the gist of it right there. We literally stayed in our houses for a month because of fear of a virus with 99.74% survival rate, and now we're supposed to ignore national cop-killing riots? Scattered efforts by the Democrats to condemn some of the protesters. Rice also falsely claimed that Trump had called white supremacists very fine people, which had been reportedly debunked. Yeah, it's a big lie. Here's other looters robbing. We are now confronting white supremacist members of organized crime out of state. I think we're confronting a bunch of devils is what I think we're confronting. A bunch of wicked people. That's what we're confronting. Right? That's what's going on right now. Confronting a bunch of wicked people. Look at this. Destruction. That's Chicago, 16 dead there. Now I want to show you something else. This is the spirit that's behind all this. Southern Baptist leaders issued joint statement on the death of George Floyd. Now, here's what happens. First of all, why does the Southern Baptist Convention need to have an official statement on the death of George Floyd anyway? Let's see. Let me show you something. Do you think they had an official statement on this? Do you think they had an official statement on this? Remember when a black career criminal threw a 5-year-old white boy off the third floor balcony in Minnesota's Mall of America? How come there wasn't a need to have a statement about this? Right? Where's the statement necessary for this? No statement given for this, is there? Really quite strange, isn't it? I got into it with a bunch of abolitionists that believed that it was that these riots were okay. Right? All right, let's get back to what the Southern Baptist Convention said, because then we're going to get into some scripture here. When was that? Oh, that happened to that boy? That was last year. They picked the boy up and threw him off the top level. The man ran in there, picked the boy up, a little boy, and threw him off the top of the balcony. No statement needed by the Southern Baptist Convention. Why? I don't know, because the actions of one white person, one black person against one white person, doesn't necessitate the entire race being judged by it. Southern Baptist leaders issue joint statement on the death of George Floyd. Southern Baptist leaders have published a statement grieving the recent death of George Floyd and calling for the end of racial inequity in the distribution of justice in our country. So that was... Let's see. Well, they definitely weren't all white, because here's the Asian guy, and there's a white guy. I'm not sure if there was a... another guy involved, or the other two guys, what they were. But they weren't all white, I can tell you that. But why the need to... No, the boy didn't die. He made it. The little boy didn't die. Well, they said the statement co-authored by SBC President J.D. Greer, which is, in my opinion, J.D. Greer is probably a queer. I mean, remember, remember who this guy is? The president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
It's Pastor Jay Greer, a.k.a. Whitney Houston.
We won't keep it on too long because it's really gay or nays. Right, this is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm telling you, that guy is definitely gay. I mean, seriously? Seriously, like, this guy? This guy is the founder of the Southern Baptist Convention, and this guy would literally kick. This guy would literally kick 10 different shades of poop out of J.D. Greer if he saw him. Here's the founder of the Southern Baptist Convention, B.H. Carroll. Right? Versus this. Oh! Dude, you'll never convince me. You'll never convince me that those guys are not queers. You'll never be able to convince me. That is the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. Okay? Look at him. And they think this is funny. They're going to sing a song about feeling the heat with somebody. Right. Brother Paul just sent me the article about the boy thrown off the Mall of America balcony. That's, yeah. I mean, they picked that kid, that guy ran up, picked that kid up and threw him off of there. And we didn't go riot over it. Why? Because it's the actions of an individual. Okay, so picture that guy versus that guy. Ugh. Okay, the statement co-authored by the SBC president, J.D. Greer, and New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary president, Jamie Dew, was unanimously signed by all SBC officers, entire entity heads, and state convention executive directors. I mean, these guys are a bunch of... These guys are a bunch of antichrist devils, man. As the Convention of Churches committed to the equality and dignity of all people, Southern Baptists grieve the death of George Floyd, who was killed May 25th, 2020. Yeah, he did. The parents thanked Jesus for, right, for saving him from their child from death. That's right, Paul. That's exactly what happened. Yep. That's exactly what happened. While all must grieve, we understand that in the hearts of our fellow citizens of color, incidents like these connect to a long history of unequal justice in our country. Going back to the grievous Jim Crow and slavery eras, the images and information we have available to us in this case are horrific and remind us that there is much more work to be done to ensure that there is not even a hint of racial inequality in the distribution of justice in our country. We grieve to see examples of the misuse of force and call for these issues to be addressed with speed and justice. While we thank God for our law enforcement officers that bravely risk their lives for the sake of others and uphold justice with dignity and integrity, we also lament when some law enforcement officers misuse their authority and bring unnecessary harm on the people they are called to protect. We further grieve with our minority brothers and sisters in the wake of George Floyd's death. It's so weird. Like, do you grieve with people that the white guy down the street that died? I mean... Do you have to write an article about it? We further grieve with our minority brothers and sisters in the wake of George Floyd's death. Pray for this family, his family and friends, and greatly desire to see the misuse of force and any other inequitable distributions of justice come to an end. Throughout the Old and New Testaments, the Bible speaks to matters of justice and human dignity. We are taught by Scripture that human beings are distinct among the rest of creation as those beings which bear the divine image. From the beginning of life to the end, all human beings, both male and female, are of all ethnicities, colors, and ages, are sacred beings that God values and loves. Throughout the Law, Prophets, and the Gospels, and the entire canon of Scripture, murder is condemned, and God's people are called to protect the vulnerable. The Bible further condemns injustice and misuse of authority and force. And the example of Jesus Christ, God's people are called to love others, care for their needs, grieve with them in brokenness, and labor for the well-being of our neighbors. To follow Christ is to follow in these examples. He puts before us, therefore, as a matter of Christian obedience and devotion, followers of Christ cannot remain silent when our brothers and sisters, friends, and or other people we seek to win for Christ are mistreated, abused, or killed unnecessarily. Therefore, we pray for all local, state, and national leaders as they seek justice and call on them to act quickly and diligently to ensure these situations are brought to an end. As a people, the Southern Baptists stand readily to help toward the end. May God give us his favor and help and strengthen this effort. Well, what is this called? Well, that's called white guilt. That's just what that is. It's nothing more than white guilt. White instigators, white protesters, bow down to blacks. We talked about that. Angry mob of black men violently beat unarmed white woman with a 2x4. I'm going to show you the spirit behind this in a second. J.D. Greer's spirit, I think you already seen it. It's a queer one. It's Antichrist. But here's this woman trying to stand up where her shop is. Right? And she doesn't want to let him into her shop to destroy it. So then they start just throwing stuff around. And then they decide, oh, let's just beat her up. But what I do know is that if you would have fired at them and ended the threat, they'd have ran away. After the first one, they would have ran away. They would have ran away. That's what would have happened. They just would have got out of there. See, there's a spirit behind all that. And we're going to get to it here. Remember, we always look to how we can identify that spirit and where we can find it. And then we know what manner it is of. Right? Then we know what manner it's of. By the way, remember this. Cities refuses to arrest rioters, but gives $1,000 fines to churches with more than 50 worshipers. Right? Remember that. Remember that. By the way, they burnt the church down. The historical church in D.C. I'm not an Episcopalian, but all these presidents went here. It was a landmark, and they burnt it down. Or they didn't burn it down. They damaged it very badly. What did that have to do with anything else? Nobody knows what it has to do with anything else. They just wanted to destroy. All they wanted to do was destroy. That's what it was all about. That's exactly what it was all about. See, I was trying to see if I could find another one. Then I'm going to get to some scripture here for the rest of the time. Okay. Okay. Wisdom. James 3:17, verse number 14 or 15. But this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. Well, let's back up. Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
Right, they burnt a building down. That was the point. That's the point that I was making. It was a building. But it was one that a church met in, that many presidents met in before. Anyway. Okay. You see the religious spirit, the vain, sensual, evil religious spirit. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherever you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Now, we know we can identify that Antichrist spirit by its attributes that it shows. We also know the Bible says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. The Bible says that many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They are Antichrist, right? That's what the Bible says. There is a spirit of chaos and disorder that is about all of this. There's a darkness and a disorder that comes from all of these things. And we have that darkness and disorder that we can see today very plainly. And the amount of confusion that is there. There's a lot of confusion in every evil work. We see it all over the place. The confusion that has arisen from all of this. And there's so many things that are coming at everybody in different directions, right? There's the different directions, directional battles. There's a lot of fog. There's a lot of noise. A lot of confusion out there that's out there. It's everywhere out there today. Why? Well, because there's a spirit that worketh now in, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The Bible calls them the children of disobedience. Three times. The Bible talks about the stage. It says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's a spirit that leads them. It's a spirit that controls them. And it pushes and it pumps up worldliness and the love of the world.
Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Bible tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. It says to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The Bible says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. It says that God's people are to mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, since ye put off the old man his deeds. They're the children of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in them. It's the work. It's what happens. They're of their father, the devil. Why we're not to love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. We know what they are. God warns us about these children of darkness, not to fall for their traps. We don't fall for their race baiting and their race wars and everything else. That doesn't mean we don't tell the truth about it. By the way, civil government has a responsibility to put down the disorder. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. This is lawful civil government. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. So why are they being a terror to people that want to go to church, but they're not dealing with the evil? For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's why this rebellion, this wicked, vile rebellion against authority is to be put down. Because they do evil. And God said they beareth not the sword in vain. He is to be the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Rendered all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying. Namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing, see, that's what civil government is supposed to be doing. And you're supposed to be obeying the second table of the law. Obviously, you obey the first table towards God, but the second table of the law. Says what love is. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. Too many sleepy Christians out there. Too many sleep at the wheel. By the way, this just in, the second autopsy that's performed says that Floyd was asphyxiated by sustained pressure. This is the same guy that did Epstein's found that he died of asphyxiation due to neck and back compression when Emilio Sleep Officer held his knee and neck until he stopped breathing, ignoring his cries of distress, the family's attorney said Monday. The autopsy by a doctor who also examined Eric Garner's body found the compression cut of blood to Floyd's brain and weight on his back made it hard to breathe, attorney Ben Crump said. He called for the third-degree murder charge against Officer Chauvin to be graded to first-degree murder and for the three officers to be charged. The family's autopsy differs from the official autopsy as described in a criminal complaint. Is anybody starting to see the Jesuit? Is anybody starting to see the Jesuit game plan here? So now you got one. You got one autopsy completely different than the other autopsy. I don't even think Epstein's dead, if you really want to know the truth. I don't think Epstein's dead, and I'm starting to wonder what the deal is with this thing. I'm starting to wonder what the whole deal is with all this, besides, I think we know what the deal is. Because I don't think Epstein even died. Baden also conducted an independent autopsy on Michael Brown, an 18-year-old shot by police in Ferguson, requested by the teen's family, didn't reveal signs of a struggle, causing doubt on a claim by police that a struggle between Brown and the officer led to the shooting. Anybody starting to think that we got played? Hmm. Like, this is one big scam after the other to invoke a big race riot and a big race war. Why do I believe that Epstein didn't die? Because billionaires don't die like that. Come on, man. Why are there two different autopsies that say two different things? Why? By the way, because the reason I say that about Epstein is that billionaires don't die like that. Billionaires don't die in jail cells like that. First of all, billionaires don't really go to jail cells like that. Anyway, there's just more to the story. That's right, the level of deception is so absolutely thick. Because on the one hand, you have... On the one hand, you have... You got one autopsy saying the other, then you have the family autopsy saying another thing, which is the same guy that dealt with the Ferguson issue, which is the same people that deal with all these riots, which is the same one that dealt with Epstein. Okay. Does anybody not smell a rat in all this, like a big satanic one? Okay. Then you have the attorney general connected to Antifa. You have his son connected to Antifa. You have Ilhan Omar's daughter connected to Antifa. Yeah. I don't think it's hard to connect these dots to see that there's some satanic psyop garbage going on here. You don't have two autopsies say exactly different things. Not like that. And you have the same guy that does the autopsy. The guy that does the autopsy. Did all the other ones? Yeah. And the fact that the governor didn't put down these riots right away. Right? The governor didn't put it down. The attorney general didn't put it down of Minnesota. I'm telling you, there's more to the story. I think more is going to come out. I think we're going to see more of it come. I'd sure stay tuned to it. Well, anyway, who's all on here today? Let's see. Anybody want to say hi before they go? If you're listening, on chat. There's 63 people on. We had about 80 on earlier, but 63 on now. Anybody want to say hi? Tell us where you're from, how long you've been listening, or if this is your first broadcast or anything like that. Any comments, questions, anything like that at all? Give you a chance to do that before we close it out here. If you want to say hi at all, that would be fine. Give you a few seconds here, a minute or so to do that. Let's see. Let's see. I like that. Patriot Eric. How long have you been listening, man? Where are you from? Joyce Pendergrass asked, hi, Pastor, what do you think should be done with the riots? I think that swift action to beat them and to jail them is the only way. If they do not comply to arrest, then you gotta smack them around a little bit to get them to do what they're supposed to do. Because you can't let them burn things down and you can't let them kill people. Can't let them do that. Can't let them destroy property. I don't care if they're white, black, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. Right? We all have the same rules that we're to live by.
Ladies, would you sing this first, ladies? Oh, that was awesome.
Dwayne, where is that at? I don't know where that is.
I expect to hear some loud singing over there, Dr. Yingling, from all that crowd. When we get into the chorus, I expect the pianist and organist are going to be singing. As a matter of fact, maybe the best singing we've got over there, all right? Everyone on the floor of birth, now rest.
Now rest, my Lord.
People aren't getting my notifications. It's weird. But I noticed that yesterday when I looked at the new sermon that I posted. I preached it last night or yesterday morning, and I put it on last night, and it's audio only because I didn't have any cameras rolling or anything like that. But I could tell that nobody was getting notified about it. It's kind of a generic thing here. Marjorie Fleming, hi Pastor, I'm from Nova Scotia, Canada. Been listening since 2015. Well, praise the Lord for that. That's good. I'm glad they're a blessing for sure. Because like this one right here, I was like, how come nobody's on this but Skip whatever his name is, or Chip, sorry. You know, I knew something was up. Well, I didn't know. I mean, I've been wondering about my broadcasts, how they would have less people on them. And
Yeah, I think they're being buried too, so I don't know what the deal is. Well, it's the topics that I talk about are not popular. They're popular for people to listen to, but they don't like that. They don't want those point of views being crossed. So, anyway, but listen to this sermon when you get a chance. It's a fiery one for sure. So, anyway, hopefully it'll be a blessing. All right, I'll be back with you on Wednesday, Lord willing. And just remember that my trip's coming up here a week from Friday. I'll be leaving. So, with my family, I'll be gone for about 2 weeks. So, you pray for us. And we're heading out to the Yellowstone area. And pray for us as we prepare to go on vacation and try to have a good, relaxing time there for a few weeks and get away for a little while. So just pray for us and my family for all of those things. And pray for my wife, who is with child number 7. And continue to pray about that, if you would, please, and for our church and for safety is all the stuff that's going on in this neck of the woods right now. That the Lord would just continue to keep us safe. All right, everybody. I'm going to take off. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you all.